Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can browse through recent podcasts according to show, or you can sort by companies discussed, even by the name of the guests? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Let's welcome Richard Franulovich of Westpac. Richard, how do you pronounce Jaguar or Jaguar?
Jaguar seems to roll off the tongue a bit more than Jaguar.
Very good. What rolls off is their beautiful cars. You see them out in the streets of Manhattan. I noticed the Red Sox 1-4. Let's have a moment of silence. Okay, very good. Richard, the Australian dollar is a litmus paper, not only for Asia, but for the foreign exchange system. What do you glean from Australia right now?
Okay, well, the Aussie dollar has not been trading well for several weeks now. In fact, if you think back to as recently as two to four weeks ago when global stock markets were still rising, the S&P was still rallying, the euro was closer to 135, the Aussie dollar just could not respond to that kind of positive stimuli, and it's been trading on a very weak footing. It's been amongst the weaker G10 currencies. We read that as a pretty significant bellwether for global conditions, if you like, and it's a pretty strong sign that conditions in China are weakening, and domestic demand in Australia, I might add, is also quite soft, and looks like the RBA will be easing again as soon as next month. So the fact that the Aussie dollar's had a pretty meaty sell-off around 5 cents from its highs a few weeks ago,
right,
I think speaks volumes about global sentiment.
Just sent out on Bloomberg Radio Plus, free at the App Store, on iTunes. Aussie yen, and it shows a stronger yen of recent weeks, stronger yen within a range-bound trade going back to 2009, so yen stronger versus Australia in the last month or so. Ken?
I know you're watching Europe. Richard, we have a headline here. Italy sells 361-day bills, 2.84% versus 1.405 back on March 13th. What's that telling you?
Well, it tells you that funding's getting a lot more expensive. To be fair to the Italian Treasury, they did manage to raise all the funding they were looking for, but at a much more expensive level. I actually think the real litmus test will be tomorrow. So it's one thing to be able to raise bills successfully or short-term paper, but Italy is looking to raise about 3 to 5 billion euro in bonds of much longer maturities, up to 10-year bonds tomorrow. That will be a stronger test of the market's appetite for Italian paper. If that goes off without a hitch, if they manage to get a decent bid to cover, I expect Euro will extend its rally. But I've got to say, I think the future for me is littered with landmines in the next few weeks. You have Greek elections coming up, French elections coming up. The ECB remains oddly much more focused on inflation risk and therefore not willing to ease. Operation Twist in the US will be coming to an end in the next several months. Chinese policymakers seem a little bit hesitant to ease. So all the key policymakers globally seem, at this stage, somewhat hesitant, unwilling to ease. Even the Fed, of course, seems a bit less inclined to ease. And that's not a great backdrop.
Then how do you play that, Richard, off a trading desk? Does that just mean you go to cash and hide? Do you too tightly hedge trades? What's the strategy?
Right. Well, I'll speak to foreign exchange primarily. That kind of backdrop where the key global central bankers are moving towards less accommodation. To be fair, they're not moving to a hawkish stance. There's just less accommodation, okay? That's from, in terms of Operation Twist coming to an end, the ECB more focused on inflation risk and Chinese policymakers not willing to ease that much thus far. That's not a great backdrop for risk-taking, so it's a pretty simple trade for foreign exchange. Your defensive low-yielding currencies like the dollar, the Swiss franc and the yen all tend to outperform. Riskier, high-yielding currencies like the Aussie, the Kiwi, the Canadian dollar will all tend to underperform. So within foreign exchange, it's a pretty simple binary trade that way.
What is the Westpac view of how Europe will be made up in 5 years?
All right. Well, it'll be made up of fewer. The Eurozone currency will be made up of fewer members. We fully expect Greece to fail in its austerity efforts as a result of opposition within amongst the peoples and in the face of harsh austerity measures. And we expect the political will eventually be broken, and that will leave Greece in a difficult situation. It, of course, doesn't face any capital market risks per se. It doesn't have any significant bonds maturing where this can be a flashpoint for markets. But if it's continually missing austerity targets, it does raise the risk that it will not get funding from its second bailout. And we expect that to rear its head, probably not necessarily this year, but certainly in 2013.
What about Spain?
Spain's a tougher call, to be honest with you. I think Spain ultimately will stay within the Eurozone on a 2 to 3 year horizon, but beyond that, it's a tougher call. The thing about Spain is that its debt load is, I think, from recollection, more than twice as large as Portugal, Ireland, and Greece combined. That raises substantial existential risks for the Eurozone as a whole. And you'd think that whereas Eurozone authorities have been kicking and dragging their heels into saving Greece, given that they would face an existential crisis around Spain, they'll be much quicker to step up. So there's that calculation to take into. I do think I think it's a greater than 50% chance Greece leaves on an 18 to 24 month horizon. For Spain, it's better than even bet that they stay in. But on a 4 to 5 year horizon, I still think it's a 50-50 call. The bottom line is it still suffers from a birth defect. The idea of growing your way to health via austerity is fundamentally misguided policy. So the Eurozone problems will be with us for many years to come.
You mentioned the election coming up in Greece, also in France, and it looks like the more left-leaning candidates are going to win both.
Yeah, that's right. And the problem is, in the case of Greece, it looks like whichever party ultimately wins, at least in the case of Greece, no one party will be able to govern in their own right. That means that they'll have to get the support of independents and other minor parties to govern. And that never makes for stable government. Typically, the price of a major party to govern with a minor coalition partner is they have to trade away some kind of authority. That means that Greece will be much more difficult politically for Greece to push through harsh austerity. And in the case, obviously, in France, Hollande, who looks like he's in the winning seat, he wants to completely rewrite the austerity pact. He wants ultimately for the ECB to move more towards a growth-focused mandate rather than inflation exclusively. That raises some concerns about the cohesion within Europe and their ability to push through austerity. So it's all a mixed story, and it does raise the risk of uncertainty. And I don't expect euro or risk markets to trade very well through these options.
Right. Richard, in the time we've got left, we began our discussion looking at Aussie yen and the fragility of the Australian economic experiment. I brought up here the Shanghai Index. Folks, I'm going to put this out on Bloomberg Radio Plus, free out at iTunes and the App Store. You'll see it in about 40 seconds. And I'm sorry, the equity markets in China rolling along and rolling over at the same time. What is the Western Pacific Bank of Sydney's call on what China does? Can they avoid a 7% GDP?
Right. Well, it looks like they probably will, at least for the first quarter. We'll get that update on Friday. And a couple of the very politically important think tanks in China have been quoted in the last few days as saying it looks like Q1 GDP growth will come in at 8.4%. And I wouldn't bet against these people. So it looks like at least Q1 will be something of a relief. It won't be as weak as feared. That being the case, the problem for the Chinese economy is that it looks like it's structurally transitioning down from double-digit growth of 10% plus down to something closer to 7%. And in an environment where the policymakers there have been very hesitant, somewhat recalcitrant to ease aggressively, it makes that all the more likely prospect. What the last time the Chinese economy accelerated back up from high single digits up to double digits was around the credit crunch, massive fiscal easing, massive monetary easing. And that's what it took. That is not forthcoming on this at this stage. So I expect it looks like Q1 will avoid a bit of a bloodbath for the economy, but there are certainly risks through the balance of 2012 where growth could undershoot expectations amid moderate easing.
Richard, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.